Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sam Panionovich joins us again. Haven't talked to him in a while. The betting analyst with New England Sports Network and Fox Sports on Nesson.com. You can find him. Longtime sports voice here. And I thought we'd ask you, Sam, to help us with our brackets. I don't want to hear things like minus 700. I just want to know who's going to win the games. Can you help us today, Sam?
I can. Do you have your bracket handy?
Yeah, I do. I do. I got it right here.
Is that what you were tracking down at the printer?
I don't want to talk about my irresponsibility towards this, a show that is so important to me. But how have you been, Sam?
I've been well. As you can imagine, this is one of the busiest times of the year, and we do this pretty much every single year. We've talked about the tournament and what to do and what not to do. And, yeah, we don't have to talk gambling. We can talk about the brackets. Where do you want to start?
Well, I do want to just mention this about gambling in general. There's a story in the business section of the Tribune today. 1 in 4 adults are expected to wager a record $15.5 billion on the tournament this year. Last year, March Madness generated $3 billion. This year, with more legalized betting apps and more people in the office, Sam, to do the pools, you know, the office pools, it's going to go, they say, from $3 billion to over $15 billion spent. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't. I actually just signed up for my fourth bracket in this office right now over at Nesson. And I think what makes it simple with the bracket pool is that everybody can do it. I mean, there's really not much of a thought process like yeah. I make a bet or two or three. I have to really do my homework and get the right number and bet the proper amount. But if I'm in a $5 or $10 bracket pool, I mean, these days, that's like getting the coffee. So, yeah, I'll throw $5 in and fill this bracket out. I did pretty well last year. If you remember, we did have Kansas to win the title. Let me also say, as I brag about myself, I think I've picked the champion 3 times in 20 years. So it's very tough to do. And most tournaments, my bracket is ripped up after the first weekend. But it's certainly a fascinating conversation to have. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like the last 7 years, the narrative around the tournament has been, oh, my God, it's so wide open. And then it's always the same teams in the Final Four, give or take. I mean, it's you look up and it's usually a couple one seeds, a two seed, and maybe a four seed. It may be wide open early, but the cream always rises in this tournament. So I wouldn't be putting too many sleepers in my Final Four.
Well, we talked to some whiz-bang data analyst from the University of Illinois, and he said among your 10, 11, and 12 seeds, you know, those darlings, the 10, 11, and 12 seeds. So that's 12 teams, 12 games in the first round. He said, you should only pick 2 upsets from the 10, 11, and 12. Of those 12 games, only pick the underdog in 2 of them. What do you think of that, Sam?
I hadn't heard it, but as I look at my bracket, I picked the 10 Utah State over the 7 Missouri. I picked the 10 Penn State over the 7 Texas A&M in the Midwest. That's the top right. And I have 7s in the other 2, Michigan State and Marquette. As for the 11s, I have 0, 1, 1, 1. Yeah, I have 1-11, and that's Providence in the east, bottom left. And as for the 12s, I know I don't have many 12s this year winning the game. I only have 1-12, and that is Drake beating Miami. So, yeah, I don't have many in the 10, 11, and 12. Yeah. I didn't know about this, but, yeah, I guess that checks out.
Drake can score the basketball. It'll be interesting to see how John Shire does. He's the 5-12. He's the 5 for Duke versus Oral Roberts. I don't know anything about Oral Roberts. I've seen Duke play. They don't look as good as they've been in the past, but they're Duke. They're a 5 seed, so I think that's a safe bet, don't you?
I have Duke in my bracket, but I can tell you I bet Oral Roberts in the first round. The point spread is 6.5, and I know you don't want to talk a lot of gambling on this segment, but the problem with Duke and betting Duke in the tournament is that you're betting Duke. and everybody knows that. I think, you know, if Duke was Oregon, this line is probably 4.5. But because it's Duke, and Duke has won 9 in a row now, and they won the ACC championship, you're paying a premium on Duke. So I have Duke in my bracket beating Oral Roberts. But let me tell you, Oral Roberts is one of the most efficient teams in the country. They are top 10 in making their two-point shots. They are top 10 in making their three-point shots. And, John, they shoot almost 80% from the free throw line. That is a team that can give Duke a fit. I think the Blue Devils emerge from that matchup, but it wouldn't surprise me for one second if Duke and Oral Roberts were tied with 5 minutes to go.
I want to know what your wisdom is about Northwestern, about Illinois and Marquette, three teams near and dear to a lot of folks around here. Just one last note, though, about sports wagering. This, again, from the Tribune today. In January, January's record, $1.07 billion. Sports betting handle translates to $96 million in adjusted gross revenue for the sports books and $14.4 million in tax revenue for the state. Illinois, $1 billion in sports wagering in January alone. And what's just kind of surprising to me, Sam, is that if that's the handle, the amount of money that was wagered, the state only gets $14 million of the billion that was wagered. Now, I know a lot of that gets paid out. The books don't get it. In fact, the books, it says here, grossed $96 million in adjusted gross revenue. But I'm just wondering if we're getting a fair or enough of the take. I wonder if the taxes for the state, if we are allowing a $1 billion enterprise to operate in Illinois, shouldn't we be getting more than $14 million in tax revenue in January?
Well, you have to remember, for every $100 that gets wagered at a casino, on average, let's say you're a sportsbook director at the John Williams Sportsbook, and I walk up and I make a bet. $100 goes across the counter. Most sportsbooks only actualize $5 of that $100. And that's the reality of the situation. I mean, we see these big figures, and we see these millions and billions and all that jazz, and it's all on board. But at the end of the day, people also win. Sportsbooks also right. have to pay salaries and sportsbook directors and ticket writers and all that. And then the sportsbooks get taxed by the state. So, I think the math, it all checks out at the end of the day. But, yeah, you would not be wrong in thinking you thought that, hey, they could fix the potholes on, you know, Division and Ashland with all the money they're making on sports betting. But really, a lot of money doesn't go into the state's pocket because a lot of money doesn't go into the sportsbook's pocket either. They only make five on 100.
I didn't realize it was that little. And by the way, both candidates for mayor in Chicago, when asked this week about gambling, they are for the video gaming machines. They are for opening up gaming outside of the casino in Chicago as well. And they say because we need better services for the city and better development on the south and west side. So gaming in all forms is here to stay in Chicago, Sam.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, King.
Okay, so let's pause and then just help me pick up. I'll ask you what your Final Four is. Tell me how far Illinois is going to go. Tell me how far Northwestern is going to go. Tell me how far Marquette is going to go, and give me some upsets or some games to watch. Let's put it that way. What will be some of the most fun games to watch, Sam? What are some of the entertaining games? What will be some of the really fun games to watch in the first 2 days of the tournament?
I'm telling you, this Oral Roberts-Duke game, we already hinted at it. I think that's going to be one of the best games of the entire first round. That is a Thursday night game. It's 6:10 Chicago time. That's going to be one of the best games, I believe, in the first round. Another good one is Missouri and Utah State. That'll be one of the first games on the board. That's just after lunch tomorrow in Chicago, about 12:40. These two teams, buddy, they just fly up and down the court. We're talking about a game that could be played in the 80s, like 85, 82 or something like that. If you like shot making, that's going to be a game, Utah State and Missouri. And then you asked for a couple upsets. There's a game on the right side of the bracket that'll be played on Friday night late. I'll already be in the bag by this point. 8:55 at night, Kent State against Indiana. I know there are a lot of Indiana people listening right now. Be careful, Hoosier fans, because this Kent State team nearly beat Houston in the regular season this year.
Wow.
Nearly beat Gonzaga this year.
Wow.
They are extremely well coached. They start four seniors. They don't turn the ball over. That is a team that could give Indiana a nightmare on that late Friday night. Again, 8:55 tip-off on the Midwestern side of things. And then another upset that's brewing is over on the top left of the bracket. Virginia faces Furman. And Furman, by the way, nicknamed the Paladins, P-A-L-A-D-I-N-S. The Paladins of Furman are the number one team in the country at making two-point shots. That is a metric that we study these days. And Virginia, as you know, you've seen a lot of Virginia, they like to slow you down and slog up these games. You have to really pass the basketball extremely well to beat Virginia. And that's what Furman does best. It's the perfect matchup for Furman's offense against Virginia's defense. And that's another early one. That's Thursday at 11:40. So that's one of the first games to go off tomorrow. Furman and Virginia. Not going to be a game that's going to be in the 70s or 80s, but that might be a game where Virginia goes down to Furman.
That Thursday night game you like is going to conflict with our viewing and listening here in Chicago to Northwestern. Tell me what you think about Northwestern.
Well, let's be clear. I'm not the biggest Northwestern fan in the world. I think everybody knows that, including Dave Bennett. But the Cats I have going to the second round and being in a war with UCLA. I've got Northwestern to beat Boise State. And UCLA is going to potentially be down its best two defenders, including the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, Jalen Clark, who's a very good perimeter defender. Northwestern has two very good senior guards,
yep,
in Boo Booey and Chase Adige.
Yep.
And those are the type of players you need, John, to win games in March. Look, Northwestern could lose the first game. It's a coin flip against Boise. But I think they do beat Boise, and I think they can give UCLA a game for sure. Like, that's going to be a fascinating one, the 7 against the 2 there. UCLA a little hobbled, but if those senior guards are on for Northwestern, they can win a couple games, no doubt.
Talk to me about Illinois.
I'm nervous, man. You know I'm an Illini guy. I got them losing in the first game. Again, it's a coin flip. Arkansas is a two-point favorite. John, my problem is I feel like when I watch the game from my couch, I can coach Illinois better than Brad Underwood can.
Oh.
They have so many times in their games where they shoot contested threes, and it drives me insane. There's a guy wide open right at the free throw line cutting the basket, and Illinois is going to shoot a three-pointer over two guys, like fading away. It drives me nuts because they're so inconsistent. They have the talent, but, man, they live and die with that three, and they take so many bad threes that I don't think Illinois can make a run in this tournament. It pains me to say that.
Marquette's a 2-seed. They play Vermont, the 15. What do you like about Marquette?
They should beat Vermont, 11-point favorite in that game. I'll tell you what. The toughest game in that bracket for the Golden Eagles might be that 7-10 because you play two teams with grown men, Michigan State, USC, potentially. I mean, whoever comes out of that game is going to win a physical fight. They both rebound well, guard well. Marquette should get through Michigan State or USC, but that's going to be a very tough game at the bottom of that bracket. And if that's the case, if they do win those first two, they go to the Final Four. I got them beating Providence and then beating Duke. My early upset in that bracket, bottom left in the East, Purdue goes down in round two. If Purdue faces Memphis, look, you know Purdue's got that 7'4 kid, Zach Edey.
Yeah.
Well, Memphis has two kids that are 6'10". They weigh 240 and 260, and they are physical. Let's put it that way. They're not from Bensonville or Naperville. They are tough kids, and they're going to have Purdue really working on the offensive and defensive glass. That East region, I think, has big-time combustibility. But to answer your initial question, I got Marquette going to the Final Four. It's a little sexy, but at the same time, man, they go to Madison Square Garden for the regional final. They just won the Big East title there last week, so the familiarity is real.
You think momentum matters? Will that help, say, a Penn State?
It should. That's a very good game. I put Penn State through against A&M. Penn State, man, they are the ninth best team in the country at making threes. And they also take a lot of threes. Like, they're going to put up 33-pointers in that first game. If they make 12 of them, they're going to win. If they make 5 of them, they're going to lose.
Hey, John
and
Williams.
Life when you shoot.
I hate that every year when a big favorite loses, everybody on the news reports that their bracket was busted. Well, no duh, everybody's has been. And 773 says, John, ask Sam who's going to win. Last year he picked Kansas. That's my alma mater. Please ask Sam, who is he picking to win? He's good at his job.
I feel like that was not a real text, but I will take it anyways.
It 100% is.
Top left, Arizona. Bottom left, Marquette. Top right, Texas. Bottom right, Kansas. Again, Arizona, Marquette, Texas, Kansas. And I did go Kansas last year, but this year, as I told you, I think in November, and your producer Pete reminded me, Texas wins the national championship, beating Arizona on April 3rd in Houston.
Wow. Okay. Well, you were right last time, and it sounds like you're not just, you know, making this stuff up on the fly. You've clearly thought about it, Sam. This has been very helpful.
Well, let me tell you, the odds are against me winning it back-to-back years, so you may not want to follow this advice.
I think I'm going to follow your advice. I've already filled out 3 brackets, so I'm going to do 4, and I'm going to put in some of these suggestions from you. Thank you very much, Sam.
All right, King. Always a pleasure, buddy.
You hear him frequently on with John Landecker at night, and they yuck about all kinds of sports.